Okay, I hate to interrupt the gallery. We can resume it after class. We'll resume it after class. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sure. But that was about for those of you on the internet. Last night we had a storm. I blame it on that. I brought tonight's notes, so tonight we're doing last night. And it won't confuse anyone because you're going to get it on the internet in the proper order. And just affect a few of you here whom I apologize to. Okay. Now about prayer. People, please be in prayer for Nancy Becker. She's at the clinic where Jim Passmore did his intern. She's at the Mayo Clinic. And so if they don't find it, Jim, it's not to be found. Jim said, we don't talk about that other place. yes. Okay, so she's just not feeling well. I talked to him tonight before I came here. They're in a room right across from the hospital. And just please be in prayer that they can find what needs to be found. And our prayers with the doctors, as well as for her pain. The doctors can find what's going on. So please be in prayer. Yes.
I have a dear friend of my boss. I know her well, and her husband. She's had cancer for the last 2 years, and they've been fighting it aggressively. And yesterday they gave her 2 months.
2 months to live? Mm-hmm. What kind of cancer, if I may ask? Okay.
It actually had been metastasized before the cancer. She's in her 50s. She's fairly young.
Do we know if she's a believer?
We do.
Good.
We know she is a believer.
Good. And what's her first name?
Her name is Denise.
Lee?
Denise.
Okay. Denise. And her husband's name?
Is Dennis.
We need to be in prayer for Dennis and Denise.
And their son.
And their son, yeah. My goodness. How many children they have?
Just one.
Well, what we were talking about that you may not have heard was Pam has a very good friend, also her boss, but who has been fighting cancer for some time, and now they've given her 2 months. So we need to be in prayer for her, Denise, that these last days will be comfortable, and her husband and son, Dennis, and that they can, the Lord just give them strength to depend on the Lord as they go through this period. Wow. Okay. We need to continue to be in prayer for Judith's mother and father. The mother's doing much better. The father's not. Need to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to fight cancer. Right now she's traveling. I don't know when she's due back, but she and Leslie and Jerry are traveling. Do you know when they're due back?
Jerry and Leslie are back now.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know
about Tish. All right. And so we just need to be in prayer for her as she fights this. Need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards and Cindy Edwards and their daughter and granddaughter, the family. And again, I request your prayers for Dan and Pat and Joe and I as we prepare to go to Africa. Tuesday. And we will be gone 3 Tuesday and Wednesday nights. And so please be in prayer for our travel, our health, and the communication of the truth. For the pastors that will be there, the Holy Spirit will start nudging on their souls right now to be recipients of what we have to teach in both Ghana and Liberia. Now, the man that we're going to meet with, the pastor we're going to meet with in Liberia, his name is Dr. Nat, or Mr. Nat, Reverend Nat, and he called Dan and from Liberia and said, we're just gathering up more and more that are going to be there. And they want to come and spend the time and for the teaching. And Dan said, the only problem is that Nat would like to be able to feed them at least one meal each day. And I said, absolutely, man, I'm in. And he said, well, it won't be that much, but they'll pay half and we'll pay half. It's 250 total, so we'll pay half and they'll pay half. And I think that's what's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that the desire to be there to hear is encouraging to not only Nat and Dan, but to me. So that'll be really wonderful. Any other prayer requests that I may have forgotten? Okay. And so please be in prayer for our travel and be in prayer that I can get some sleep on the plane and without interrupting and bothering everybody. And
Take some cocktails.
Well, as I told you last time, Dr. Greg Ennis gave me a pretty nice mild sleeping thing that would help me on the rise. I just cannot sleep on a plane. I've never been able to. And I went to Germany, from New York to Germany, and when I was in the military, I couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep when I went to Amsterdam, and just haven't been able to sleep. So, but Greg found something that just, man, I would right to sleep and did not wake up with any discomfort or any kind of hangover or anything from it. So I guess hangover is the wrong word. I'm going to tell you what's in that sleeper pill. And by myself, I don't know, but Dan told me, he said on the plane it was okay, but when we got into our room, and he said, you don't snore. But boy, when you take that stuff, you make some weird sounds. And I said, well, what kind of sounds? You go, so I said, well, I hope I don't do that on a plane. So might wake up some people. Hey, get that guy off of here. So, okay, let's prepare ourselves for our prayer, for our study. And so let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and just fellowship together and laugh and pray, listen to Wes play some beautiful music for us. And now, Father, we come to the opening up of Scripture, and we pray that your Spirit will guide us into the things you would have us to see for the encouragement and edification of our own soul and body, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what we're doing is we're looking at one last thing after we completed the rapture and the great heavenly worship and then the judgment seat of Christ. And then we've taken up the wedding, and now then we went down into the wedding feast here on earth. The wedding's in heaven, the home of the groom, and the wedding supper, wedding feast is here on earth. And now we're getting ready to go back to Revelation. But I had one or two questions asked. What about this beautiful passage, important passage, that we did not cover? And I don't know why I didn't get it, but dealing with wood, hay, and stub, and gold, silver, and precious stones. Where does that fit into this whole thing? So that's what we're looking at. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we have looked at verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So we are God's building, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. And then we come to verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, and we have taken these things. I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Okay? I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. This is another the same kind in context, a pastor, teacher, but it can also just refer to the believer. And another is building upon it. And throughout the church age, the truth of the gospel is what is to be laid as the foundation by any pastor. Then he said, build and laid and built. So we have two verbs here. I want you to see that right away. We have two functional verbs. First, laid a foundation. Perfect active indicative of tithemi, which means to set, to place, to lay. So here's a foundation for the church and for our lives. Then we have another verb, to build. So first of all, you lay a foundation, then you build on it. It's the present active indicative of koi domeo. And the word means to build upon. And epi means upon, so to build upon. These are two functions by two different people. Here the Apostle Paul, but throughout the church age, the pastor teacher, and sometimes can do both, but in concept is two. But a foundation has been laid, Jesus Christ crucified. That is the foundation. And that's going to be very important to the gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, what is the material to build on this precious foundation? The truth of the gospel. It's that simple to me. That is the material you build upon the foundation of Christ crucified, and you stay with that as you build upon it. So here the Apostle Paul throughout the church age. Now the material, the truth of the gospel, and biblical truth. That's going to be our three categories. Biblical truth. Truth is a great issue for many will teach out of the Bible, but it will not be truth. They'll use the Bible, but it will not be truth. These are false teachers. I got up Sunday morning. I always get up about 5 to 7 and go in and get my notes. Just kind of go over them. And I turn on the TV. I was looking for some gospel music. And from where I had it left on the night before, Joel Osteen of Houston was teaching. I just couldn't believe it. I had to watch it just continue because I just said, surely it's just going to be a minute. But he kept on and on about what you have to do to be happy is to laugh deep within. And you should read a comic book, or read something funny all the time. And boy, that'll just get you feeling real. And I just went, I cannot believe that many people are that suckered in. It just amazed me. Finally, I listened for 5 minutes. That's all it was about. It was about laughing and what you can do to laugh. And gotta laugh from inside here. Ooh. Now, if he's teaching medical class, that probably got some truth to it. Spiritually, wow. Okay. So, the building starts with the greater works. Spreading the gospel, bringing others into the kingdom, faith in Jesus Christ. Then building on that by the power of the Holy Spirit, who sent us to glorify Jesus Christ by teaching the truth of Scripture. Living the Spirit-filled life, loving as Christ loved. And then the fruit of the Spirit coming off of you. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Okay. Ephesians 2, 20. And through 23. Well, let's see here. That isn't going to work, is it? Ephesians 2, 20 through 23 just isn't going to work. Let's see. Well, I see the point. Verse 20. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple to the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter. Look over here at 1 Peter a moment. A lot of verses built on this, but 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And if you want to write it down for further reference, we're going to read 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice... All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisy, and evil, and all slander, like newborn babies, along for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You've already been saved. Now you got to take in, like that would be the spirit-filled life. Take it in to grow on that salvation foundation. Verse 3, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, Christ is a cornerstone, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So this is our purpose, to we're the living stone and are being built up. It's a spiritual house. And if they do not have a proper teacher, you're not going to have that. Now, next Paul gives a warning. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. And here we are at the judgment seat of Christ. All right? But it's used to introduce a warning. Each one, again in context, it refers to the pastor-teacher, but again, application to all believers. And the point here is that not all pastors are the same. Jude was written to warn us against false pastors. Pastor-teacher, teach, preach, for different motives. But multitudes do not teach the truth when it comes to salvation one, eternal life salvation. Salvation two, spirituality. So you want to be very careful whom you listen to, because if you listen to lies, you're not going to be building your own spiritual fortress. You're not going to be building on that foundation. So you got to be very careful whether he's building on only the foundation that counts before God, the gospel, or upon the lies. So you got to listen carefully to different pastors. They may use the right words, love, grace, all these things, Christ, they don't mean the same thing that you and I mean. But let each one be careful how he builds upon it. Be careful. Here's a real challenge for every pastor teacher. The Greek word is blippo, means to see, means to discern, means to think about what you're doing. And I do this when I'm studying something, and like especially a glory on generally on tonight, Wednesday night. But things like this, I'm very careful. Haven't been here, so I don't want to say something that the Spirit hasn't led me to observe here. So I want to be very careful. So blippo, it presupposes that the pastor teacher knows truth. He cannot teach what he doesn't know. He cannot build if he does not know the proper material. And the only way he's going to know that is by the Spirit-filled life leading him as he opens the Scriptures. Now, what are they to discern? How he builds upon it. Okay, we got that important word, how. This is an adverb, deals with manner. It's an adverb dealing with manner. The manner in which we build is important to God. There are one of two manners for building. Energy of the flesh, power of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. The manner. You build in the power of the Spirit, you build in the energy of the flesh. And other places, Paul says, many of them deal with the energy of the flesh, for money gain. All this, there's all kinds of false motivations for pastor. Power, money, prestige, all these kind of things. How he builds upon it. Does he build up by the flesh or by the leading of the Spirit? And you can do hard work in the flesh and it mean nothing. Now in verse 11, Paul declares what the only foundation is. Just in case you missed it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's the only foundation, people. That's where we begin our foundation. That's where we advance it, build upon it, on that foundation. And if people tell you to work for salvation, it's false. People tell you to work for spirituality, it's false. people put anything above or even alongside Jesus Christ, it's false. So this is very important. For no one can. This is very important. The verb is dunamai, denoting ability, power. No man can have this power, this ability. Why does Paul put it in the negative? Because there are throughout the history of the church many who think they are special, they're great, they're charismatic, they're geniuses and so on, and they build a foundation on themselves. This is so true of so many people, preachers, teachers, other people. It's built on them. This is my doctrine, my teaching, my church, my organization. It's about me and what I say. No, it's about Jesus Christ and what he's done and his resurrection. So, and they just go on the energy of the flesh. I've heard so many do it with their dreams. The Lord told me, and bam. Just, you know, I remember when I go to Tulsa, there's the, what was his name? Oral Roberts in Tulsa, yeah. And, boy, he just was given a vision by God. They're going to build this big tower, and we're going to cure cancer. Well, the tower is now filled with just business offices. He did not find a cure for cancer. And I don't know if you've seen it. They got the big praying hand in front of the, what was his university. Y'all seen those? Big, big praying hands. And somebody said they ought to take it and move it to the police station and put handcuffs on him. But so no one can. Nobody has the ability to do this. No one. Doesn't matter who you are, who they are. How many people follow them? That doesn't impress God. We got 10,000, 5,000, 500, 5. But it just doesn't matter. That has impressed God. So it's if it's bringing together for who and what they are for the Lord. No one can lay. Same verb as in verse 10. To establish, to institute, to lay a foundation. For no one can lay another foundation. That is, there is no other foundation that can be laid of the same quality, the same uniqueness as Jesus Christ. That offers salvation, offers spirituality, offers a future in Christ. So no one can lay except that of the Son of God. For no one has the ability to lay another foundation alongside the one approved, who is Jesus Christ. Alongside. There is no other foundation, no foundation that's greater, no foundation that can even be laid next to that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is like trying to lay something alongside the cross work, like the Mosaic Law. It is not Christ plus anything. It is Jesus Christ alone. That's why it's just so simple to see salvation. But faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. If you just study the passage of Scripture, then the one approved, permanently and forever approved by God the Father. Let's note a few things. One, the Greek word means to put, to lay something down to appoint an office or something. Point two, God the Father appointed God the Son to go to the cross and to be resurrected, to be the foundation of all his activity with mankind and with angels. God the Father has appointed, has laid down, if you will, God the Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross, be raised from the dead as a foundation for all of his activity with mankind and angels. Ephesians 1:4, let me just read it for you. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, just so we don't misunderstand this verse, can any of us be blameless? No. He makes us blameless when he presents us to the Father. Point three. The foundation of Jesus Christ means, subpoint A, the entire plan of God is dependent upon Jesus Christ. The entire plan of God is dependent upon Jesus Christ. And this includes you. The plan of God for your life is dependent upon Jesus Christ. Your marriage should be dependent upon Jesus Christ. Your stability in life should be dependent upon Jesus Christ. Your happiness is dependent upon Jesus Christ. You just ask me, what do I build my happiness on? Is it security, financial security? Is it everything going right for me? Is that the basis of your happiness? So what is it that you build your happiness on? If it's anything other than Christ, people, if you're in Christ, as a believer in Christ, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. So if you are building it on anything else, you might want to consider the foundation of your happiness that God has laid, and that is Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. So point B, there is no other foundation for you to build upon. Build your life, your happiness, anything upon than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. And then finally C, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, which we all will, we've well documented that, every born-again believer in the church age will stand before Jesus Christ. Only what we do on the foundation of Christ will be recognized. And the only way we can do that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit for us to build on Him. Okay, verse 12. Try to get through this before I leave. Now, if any man, here's the grace of God, any man, God's grace, God's foundation is offered to every male who has given the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Now, if any man builds, here we have a contrast, laying a foundation, building on that foundation. See, so we have two functions, laying a foundation, building on the foundation. Now, if any man builds, that's pastor teacher, laying a foundation, building on that foundation, here we have building, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, what is the material used to build upon this foundation? The foundation is Christ crucified and resurrected. What is the building material? So you lay a foundation, like if we're building a house, you lay concrete, 2-3 inches, I don't know what it is, but they're 4 inches deep. Now you start deciding, what am I going to use for my foundation? Is it going to be wood? Going to be brick? What's it going to be? So what is the material that we're going to use to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ? The truth of the gospel. Not a false gospel. Not a distortion of the true gospel. Biblical truth is the foundation built upon Jesus Christ, like spiritual love, loving as He loved, being imitators of Christ through the process of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the divine nine. The foundation of the world, beginning with the gospel, calling into existence a race of Israel, the tribe of Israel, the family from David, from the Messiah would come, His coming, His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session. So these are the material. Christ glorified. It's just amazing in seminary life now how much we argue about just even doctrines that are not of great issue. But we, the rapture, I always think of the rapture, we teach you these things to give you comfort and joy. And what have we done with them? We've divided. We got pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all these kind of things. And He just gave it to us to encourage us, to let us know that He's going to take us home and He's going to come back and rule the earth. Okay. Upon the foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. I think we can see the big difference here. And just to get you ready so we can move through this, it's going to be by, if you got fire, well, you know the gold and the silver and the precious stones are going to make it through the fire. But boy, you can just imagine what's going to happen with the wood, hay, and straw. Just going to feed that fire. So let's take a look. Not going to spend a great time of doctrine on this. Just go through it and then we'll move on. Gold. Gold is God as the Creator. Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior, all the doctrines related to Jesus Christ. The silver, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life by faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, the giving us wisdom, all these wonderful things of the Holy Spirit, that's the silver. And the precious stones, all the other teachings of the Bible in truth. The creation of the world and the selection of a race, a privileged race that will go through a great deal of suffering. I think I told you in the movie Defiance, it's a true story. And the rabbi there, he reaches a point where he just looks up and he says, God, choose somebody else. Leave us alone. Let us go our way. And I think that's just such a perfect prayer. It shows he's right in the battle. Just, hey, leave us alone for a while. This being chosen is not all it's cracked up to be. So this is the precious stones. Now let's look at wood, hay, and straw. Wood, false gospel. False gospel for the unbeliever. The reason wood is used for the false gospel is that it sounds so close to truth, it is strong enough to keep man away from the gold. Keep man away from the truth. The hay, the false gospel for believers. Got to do something else to be filled with the Spirit. You got to confess. You got to feel sorry. You got to just do this and that. That's the hay. And the straw is religion. Do and do. Do and do. Okay, let's go to verse 13. Each man's believer work will become evident. From our study in Romans 2, this should be easy to cover. Works of the law are a demonstration of what's in the soul. The law written in our hearts is evident in outward demonstration. Well, this is what is being talked about here. Each man's work. Again, here's the key word of our study. Work. Every time most people see this word, they think of doing something for God. Doing something as a laborer. Do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. But as we have seen in the Greek, this word is ergon, E-R-G-O-N. It's used for do and do, moral self-righteousness, learning, having some charismatic experience, some moral righteousness, serving. But the word, and here's the tricky part, the word is also used for the work of faith. In other words, your work is faith. Let's look for a moment at John 6. Every time we come to this, we need to just turn to it because it's a strong reminder. John 6. John 6, and we're going to read 26 through 29. John 6, 26 through 29. Then Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of loaves and were filled. You know what that is, people? That's the social gospel. That's the social gospel. You just, boy, he'll bring you this. You have enough faith and he'll take care of it. You'll do this and it'll be given to you. All that kind of stuff. It's a lie. It's a false gospel. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. Okay, why did Christ word it this way? Work. Do not work for food which perishes, but work for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. Why does Christ word it that way? Because the Pharisees and these Jews are so work-oriented. So note verse 28. They said to him, therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work, second time, the works of God, the works required by God. Three times they emphasize the work. And then Jesus Christ, now he comes across with the cross. Boy, he just hits him. Cross cut. Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God that God requires, that you believe in him whom he has sent." You mean that's all we have to do? That's it. Just believe in him whom he has sent. Okay, so this is the work of God that you believe. Okay, work equals faith in Jesus Christ. Our work means to do and do, do and do, rule on rule. Each man's work will become evident. I like the NIV here. I like the NIV. His work will be shown for what it is. His work shall be shown for what it is. Now, what does this mean? It will be shown if it is the work of the flesh or the work of faith, believing in Jesus Christ. Or, for the believer here, the work of the Holy Spirit. His faith in the Holy Spirit. Here's another example of why faith is the issue for spirituality. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Very important to correctly understand of everything we do in our lives. Your work will be shown for what it is, whether by flesh, you can give, pray, sing, witness, help others, all these things. People, there's going to be so many people disappointed at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, wait a minute, Christ, I've been keeping kind of a record of this in my computer, and, you know, you forgot I gave a grand total of X amount of money to the church, and I witnessed to X number of people, but this number believed, he's going to say, it doesn't even matter. It's burned up. Let me have your readout printout. I'm going to show you what happened to it. It's going to be thrown in the fire. It doesn't mean anything. Or be the work by faith in the Spirit. Why does his work have to be shown or revealed what it is? And this is one that many have trouble accepting. The overt may look the same as the one who's doing it in the Spirit. Now, two people give, two people pray, two people worship, two people witness, two people do all this stuff, and only one is going to be credited to the judgment seat of Christ. The other is going to be burned up. Okay, 13, his work will be shown for what it is, whether flesh or of faith. Now, Sunday morning, I put Phil McMillan on the spot, and I didn't mean to do that, but he's forgiven me. Well, let's just take something about what he said, and let's see how this sounds with our study. Point one, law of identity. That's what we're talking about. It'll be shown for what it is. It's a law of identity. A thing is what it is. It's the first point of what he said was logic. A thing is what it is. I thought we'd use that for this. The law of identity, a thing is what it is. One is of work of the flesh. The other is the work of faith in the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. It's what it is. If it's flesh, boom, that's going to reveal it. If it's of the Holy Spirit, boom, it'll reveal it. Thing is what it is. Now, we can't tell the difference. We can't tell the difference in each other. But boy, this day will reveal it. Point two, the law of contradiction. A thing cannot be what it is not. The work of the flesh cannot be the work of the Holy Spirit and acceptable to God. I think this is beautiful. They can't be. What we do in the flesh, no matter how sincere we were, how much we did, it isn't what it is. It can't be other than what it is. If it's of the flesh, that's what it's going to be. And then the third is the law of excluded middle. In other words, there's no in between. There's no way that God is going to accept the works of the flesh as the work of the Holy Spirit. No way! So before God, work of the flesh can never be anything other than the work of the flesh. No matter how sincere we are, how much we love Him and all that stuff, the work of faith is the only thing acceptable to God. This is really beautiful. Since this is true, we are here, how are we to know the difference? We don't know the difference in time. We don't know the difference in time. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be one great big bonfire. For the day will show it. Okay? The day will show it. The day is the judgment seat of Christ. His work will be shown for what it is. Here we have the law of logic there. It is what it is, for the day was short. Question, what day? Romans 2:16 is dealing with the unbeliever on that day, when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Secrets, not seen. Now, in our verse, for the day is another day. These are two different days. One we're studying in Romans 2 and the one we're studying here. The day in Romans 2, great white throne judgment. The day in our passage, the judgment seat of Christ, which we've well studied. This is just a verse that we passage that we didn't look at that time. Okay, verse 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. Because, how will it show it? Because it is to be revealed with fire. Now, fire here is used because of the material used. Gold, silver, precious stones, which what? They endure fire. So that's a great way of showing this is solid. The work of the Holy Spirit that you allow the Spirit to perform is solid. Now, on the other hand, wood, hay, and stubble, or wood, hay, and straw, that just immediately burns up. Just immediately burns up. So, and of course, it fuels the fire. So a fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, this one verse teaches how important the Spirit-filled life is. How God does not just look on what we do, but He looks at the power by which we do it. This is so important. He looks at the power by which we do it. Four ways of showing how God looks at our works. Become evident. Show it. Reveal the quality. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Let's look at become evident. The verb is a future middle, and it says, this is at the judgment seat of Christ. Get am I to become evident, manifested, to shine, to appear. All of a sudden, here I'm offering you all my work. And boy, boom, the fire comes, and you're holding nothing. The fire comes, and it reveals the gold and silver and precious stones. So the first thing is, it reveals it. Then we have show it. Future active indicative, again referring to the judgment seat of Christ, means to manifest, to make known, to show things that have been hidden, to show, to bring to light. So the hidden thing here is, it's been hidden. Been hidden. This is going to show it. Then we have the word reveal. Present passive indicative. Note here the passive voice. The works received being revealed, whether it was of the flesh or of the spirit. And what does this emphasize? To remove the veil. To remove a veil, to lift the covering, to expose what has been hidden through our lifetime. And we're all going to have this happen. And we're going to say, well, we gave money, but sometime we were in the flesh. You can give money and be in the flesh. All these kind of things will come out. Is it the kind of work that of the flesh, or is it the kind of the Holy Spirit? And then the last one, it says, test the quality of each man's work. What sort? Now, this is what I'm reading now is the NIV, and I like the NIV here. What sort, excuse me, this is in the margin of the NASV. So if you have an NASV with margin, I like this better. What sort each man's work? Sort, what kind? Is it the kind that comes from the flesh? Is it the kind that comes from the Holy Spirit? So people, the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be able to fake it. You're not going to be able to come and, boy, God, Lord, I just did so much for you. I just loved you, and I did. He goes, whoa, time out. Let me light a match here. Well, Lord, thank you for saving me. So this is going to be how it is. Let's take a look at the flow of the verse. Each man, each believer's work, production in life will become evident. First, note that this is going to happen. This is certain. The judgment seat of Christ, apparent, manifested for the day. Here. Judgment seat of Christ will show it, make known the hidden things, because it is to be revealed with fire. How to reveal, why the fire? To reveal or expose. Set a fire to a pile of rubbish. The wood, the hay, and the straw burns up quickly. What's left behind is the gold and silver, precious stones. I don't think too many believers are going to have too much gold, silver, and precious stones. But how much time we spend on earth trying to hoard up gold and silver, precious stones, when bore at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be for eternity. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work, or what sort? Is it of the flesh? Is it of the Holy Spirit? These are two entirely different sorts of work before God. One's of the flesh, one's of a camouflage, a false, the other is the true of the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 14. If any man's work, which he has built upon, remains from the fire, he shall receive a reward. And we've studied all the categories of rewards listed in the New Testament. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. So, whatever happens at the judgment seat of Christ, we do not lose salvation. That's given to us the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. But if all of our works and all have been shown to have been of the flesh, and I'm afraid that's going to be a majority. You know why? Not because I'm judging people, because very few people know how to be filled with the Spirit. They do works for it. Not many pastors teach it. They do works. You got to do and do to be filled with the Spirit. All this. So if you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to be doing all this stuff. And you're going to be quite satisfied with that. Why? Because it makes an issue of you. This is why faith is difficult to take even as believers. I want to be part of the equation. People were not part of the equation. But once you put your faith in the Spirit, your part's over. Your part's over. It's like that lampstand taking a fire. You and I are that lampstand. We just stand there, our arms out. And if the Holy Spirit puts forth the light, then it's there. If we try to do it, it isn't there. It sputters. Okay, any questions? Okay, that, yes, sir. In context. Each believer, now we build upon our foundation. But in the deal, it is talking about the pastor, communicator. Okay? Anything else? Well, that'll be good. So when we come back in 4 weeks, we'll be back in Revelation, and then we'll be ready to get on with what happens at the second advent in chapter 19. And so let's close in a word of prayer. This is an alarming verse, Heavenly Father, passage. I pray your Spirit will let it come boldly in our thoughts. Not just what we're doing, not just what we're not doing, but in whose power are we doing it. Not that we're just obeying the exhortation to pray, to give, to witness, but in whose power we're doing it. Are we blowing our own horn? Or are we quietly just resting in the Holy Spirit by faith, that He may use us as He sees fit, that we follow Him, that we're led of Him? Becomes a great issue, both now in time and at the judgment seat of Christ. So, Father, we thank you for this warning. We thank you for this vivid illustration, not to be fooled by our own works. Pray you'll take these things now, Father, to build a foundation of alertness in our souls. In closing, Father, we pray for one of our members who go into extensive testing tomorrow, Nancy Becker. You'll lead the doctors. Continue to give her a calmness in soul, a confidence that you're in control, Father. So let her know we're in prayer for her and we care. Father, we put all these requests that we've had here tonight before your throne. And we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.